Hello, it's Bobby here from Next Gen Hotspots and Next Gen Electronic Engineering Labs. I just want to go over something today that's kind of important. I've received quite a few calls on this particular topic as a matter of fact, and I never really thought about making a audio or a podcast of it, but I'm going to do it today because I had a call come in today from one of our really super cool customers. All customers are cool. This happens to be a cool one up in Washington. His name's Justin. And he was asking about how does the hotspot work? And, you know, I'm assuming that everybody knows how a hotspot works. But as we know what the word assume means, I shouldn't assume. So without having an assumptive point of view, this is how a hotspot works. Well, number one, when the calls start to come in, a lot of people are a little confused. There's a gray area. I shouldn't say they're confused. There's a gray area. The gray area is venturing away from the repeater towers onto a hotspot. Well, when in fact you have your hotspot, the repeater towers are irrelevant. There is no communication in any way, shape, fashion, nor form with the towers on a mountaintop. You have basically cut the middleman out of the equation. That's the way I normally explain it to people. You no longer need them to broker your signal because you own your own hotspot. The hotspots go directly into the same server farm. 95% of the towers on top of the radio towers on top of the mountaintops go to, which is Brandmeister. There's still about 5%. They seem mostly to be on the East Coast of a Seabridge system. That's a dying animal. Not too many of them left. And everyone is migrating to Brandmeister. Brandmeister, basically, when they came out a couple years ago, they cleaned the Seabridge system's clock with innovative technology and server farms that are far more efficient. They're far easier for repeater owners to set up, yada, yada, yada. But anyways, we're not talking about that today. I just want you to be aware of it. We're talking about the next-gen hotspots and how they function. So, as I stated, when you own a next-gen hotspot, you've cut the broker out of the equation, which is the mountaintop repeater, which does all the legwork and goes to the Brandmeister servers. That is 100% completely, absolutely, unequivocally removed from the equation. When you receive your hotspot, you now have your own repeater. That is a repeater in your hand, so to speak. It's actually an internet gateway device. But for all intents and purposes, it has replaced the mountaintop repeater in 100% of the cases. Excuse me. There is no more further communication with mountaintop repeaters. That's the reason why, once you have a hotspot, as long as you have a Wi-Fi signal for it to connect to, you could literally go anywhere on the planet and never have to change anything in your radio ever again, period. Unless you're going to add some specific regional information in the radio. That would be an exception. But for all intents and purposes, the way people use their hotspots and their radios, there's no further programming. So you can definitely, let's say in the United States, as an example, although we have, you know, people using our hotspots globally, but let's say you're in Miami, Florida, and you're going to drive to Spokane, Washington. Well, you can do that with a hotspot and never have to change a single thing in your radio. Talk on it just the way you use it when you're sitting at your home shack or driving around locally in your local area. The hotspot basically is programmed. It's set to communicate with your radio, and your radio does not require any further programming ever again, because the only module or device that it needs to communicate with is the hotspot. So the relationship is 100% between your radio and the hotspot. And then the hotspot does the communication to the Brandmeister server farms, which does all the heavy lifting. And that heavy lifting will get your signal out to all the branches worldwide in whatever mode you're in, be it a room, be it a talk group, be it a reflector. Brandmeister does all 100% of that heavy lifting for you and then returns the signal back to your connection, your modem connection with the Brandmeister server, in whatever mode and room or reflector talk group that you may be in. So that's how it works. So once you have a hotspot from next gen, there is no further need to even think about the towers on top of the mountaintops, because they have instantaneously become absolutely irrelevant in your ham radio communication equation. So that's how that works. So just have to make sure that you're synchronized when you have your hotspot. Now, we pre-program them for you, and you can go in and change and modify any way you want. But the basic parameters are, we put into the hotspot for you, is your call sign, your DMR ID, and you do have to have a DMR ID, because we had a lot of people that don't do DMR, and they say, well, I don't need that. I don't do DMR. With a hotspot, you do, because Brandmeister Server Farm requires a valid call sign and a valid DMR ID to cross-reference you to make sure you are a valid ham radio operator. That goes in the general settings. So even if you never use DMR, you do need to have a DMR ID, which is free. You simply go to radioid.net and you apply for it. 24 hours later or less, you will have a DMR ID. It's that simple. It's that fast. It's that easy. And I've sent, you know, probably hundreds of people over there to do that. Everybody's had a, you know, very positive experience with a 7-digit DMR ID in 24 hours. So how simple can it be, right? It's real, real easy. So moving on. Call sign, we program in for you, your DMR ID, frequency that you want to communicate with your radio. Now, with all next-gen hotspots, the sweet spot is 433 megahertz. Stay as close as you can to that. Do like 433, 937, 21. Just all weird, odd numbers like that. It helps eliminate any possibility that someone's going to interfere with your signal or you're going to interfere with someone else's signal when you're broadcasting. That's why you want to do that. So, frequency. Then the color code, we always leave it at the color code default 1. Now, in DMR, if you're using DMR, it's irrelevant if you're not, but we always set it up on DMR for you, 1 through 15 DMR color codes. DMR color codes do the same thing as a CSCS code does in analog. It's a discriminator. So when you go to digital and DMR, simply they give it a number. Then that number, again, is 1 through 15. We leave it on the default 1 unless the customer instructs us to program it differently. We'll put whatever color code you want that matches your radio. Time slot. Time slot is always time slot 2. So you have to make sure your radio is time slot 2. Again, this does not matter at all because you have your own personal repeater. Pi Star just simply defaults to Pi Star to time slot 2. It likes time slot 2. You can actually override it to time slot 1 in the expert editor, but I will tell you right now, there's no valid reason to ever do that. It's just easier to go with the flow. Pi Star likes to use that time slot 2. And it's, again, this is irrelevant because you own your own repeater. So you're not going to a particular time slot at a mountaintop. You're going to a time slot 2 directly on the Brandmeister server farm. You have your own private connection there. So whether it's time slot 1, time slot 2, it couldn't be more irrelevant when you have a hotspot. Again, Pi Star likes time slot 2. So make sure your radio is time slot 2. We will program in for you the SSID and password that you have set up for your router, your phone, and any other device that you would like to connect to, connect your Wi-Fi to. We'll take care of that for you here. We usually set up to 3 for customers. We have done up to 8, and I don't think there's an upper limit on how many connections you can make. So that's relevant and pertinent just to the Wi-Fi section. So bottom line, when everything's set up correctly, and we test it, package it, send it out to you, if everything in your radio and all the parameters meet the baseline parameters of your radio code plug, you have a plug-and-play unit. And 99.9% of the time, that's exactly what happens. The less than 1% of the time where it doesn't happen is, I can tell you right now, is when the customer gives us information that's not 100% absolutely correct. It will typically lead to the SSID being off. The SSID must be correct. The only way you can find the correct SSID on a router is go into the router software and look to where it says SSID. That is the only place you can accurately find an SSID. And do be aware that the SSID is case sensitive, as is the password, is case sensitive. So if you have the correct SSID and the case is not correctly, you're going to have a problem connecting. So you want to go directly into your router to see exactly how that SSID presents. And then you have to be absolutely sure when you give us the information on the data request, it matches not only the letters and the numbers, but it also matches in case. Really, really important. It is case sensitive for SSID and password. And if you ever have an issue and you have a Rugged Spot, Woody, or a Commander, you can just plug those directly into the back of your router. You can do it with the other units that have a Raspberry Pi 0W board, such as Covert and the XD4 and the Traveler, but you are going to need to get an adapter for that. But you can hardwire all of our hotspots, all 8 models currently that we have, you can hardwire all of them. But the Rugged Spot and the Commanders and the Woody, they can be hardwired very easily because they all have the Raspberry Pi 3B board in them with the LAN port built in. How easy is that? When you hardwire your hotspot, there's no need to put an SSID or password in because it's hardwired. The machine recognizes that. You will still have to put Pi star, all lowercase, Pi hyphen star, and Raspberry lowercase to enter into the dashboard, but you will not need an SSID or password when you are hardwired with a next-gen hotspot. It's kind of cool. Works out real well. Helps a lot of people get into that dashboard if the supplied SSID and password were in any way, shape, fashion, form incorrect. So anyways, with no further ado, I'm not going to pound on this too much, but I just wanted to clarify and make it very, very clear that when you have a hotspot, there is no more communication. There's no need for it. There's no purpose for it. And there is no communication whatsoever with any reflectors or mountaintop towers or any other machines out there in the universe, because basically, again, you own your own personal repeater that directly communicates with the Brandmeister server farm. So all the other repeaters sitting on top of the mountaintops with the 30, 40, 50, 60, 80, 100-foot antennas on them have just been eliminated from your equation. They are no longer relevant to your digital ham radio needs and functions. So you have just effectively, completely, absolutely cleaned the clock on any need for the functions of a mountaintop repeater. You own your own repeater. The repeater now fits in the palm of your hand and does direct communication with Brandmeister, which is what all the mountaintop repeaters do. They're all communicating with Brandmeister as well. But again, you've cut that link out of the chain, and you've fused your own link directly with Brandmeister servers. How cool that is. And once people understand that, they really understand the power, the flexibility, and the benefits of having a hotspot. And that's why once people get a hotspot, they are hooked on them, and for darn good reason, in my opinion. So Bobby, KM6IKH, the founder, lead engineer at Next Gen Electronic Labs and Next Gen Hotspots, I want to wish you a 73 and have a fantastic day.